What is going down, everyone? It's time for the hype. This is episode number 158, MojoBreak.com. Make sure you follow us at MojoBreak Media on YouTube. We just did an amazing dugout session where we broke down the playoffs and we compared Tatis versus Trout. For this show, we're going to talk triple threads, which came out today. We're going to talk some absolute NFL. Logan Paul made a YouTube Pokemon video that has like 7 million views or something crazy. So we're going to talk about that, as well as some finals info, which players to kind of keep an eye on for the NBA finals, the up-and-comers. And then we're going to end it off with some undervalued quarterbacks and their prism cards. So, exciting show. Dan, what's going down? How's the kefir going?
The what?
The kefir water.
It's a Kavita.
Yeah, but it says kefir on the side.
Yeah, I don't think you're good at reading.
Maybe that was the one last week.
Where does it say kefir? And what's kefir? Water,
right there, water kefir culture. See, I knew I wasn't crazy.
It's a kefir fruit.
Oh, okay. It's
very difficult to juice.
Come on a tree or?
Well, the kefir tree, the great kefir bush.
They really should give you a sponsorship. I mean, I'll
plug them. I'm a big fan. Just want to find people at Kavita to come at me and just get me that sponsorship. I'll wear a kefir shirt.
I'm sure there's only like three people that drink it, so I'm sure you're increasing.
I'll wear a Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland. See, right, what's going down, dude?
What's up? What's up? A's up, back up top, baby. Let's go.
Are you sure?
9-7.
When's the last time you checked?
Right now.
Oh, I was gonna make it up and be like, Altuve just hit a grand slam. It's over. Season's over.
No, not
so
yet.
So, what's
baby.
It like having your home games in Dodger Stadium? Ooh. What's that? What is that about?
I actually love the Dodgers. I love the blue on the Dodgers. Did they get C-Rat 6.5 too?
Did you love the 1988 World Series when Kirk Gibson hit the home run off Eckersley? Did you love that?
I wasn't born yet, but oh.
it was before my time. Oh, I forgot. You're a young man. You're a young man.
But you know, Dodgers. I have no problem with the Dodgers. You know, they're cool. LA team. You know.
So, LA team.
Off-topic question: what song was playing in your car as you drove here to get ready for the show?
What song was playing?
Yeah, what music were you listening to?
Michael Bolton.
I was actually just watching YouTube videos on my way.
While
you're
driving?
Watching YouTube videos yeah. while driving?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah, cut that one out.
Yeah.
that ain't.
Ooh. Well, I mean, I've watched YouTube videos while driving. I've actually opened up packs while I've drove as well. How many of you guys out there have gotten a box and opened it while you drove?
Kids, if you're listening, do not watch YouTube and drive. When I say I was watching YouTube video, I meant I was listening to a YouTube video while driving.
Nice.
Disclaimer. for the children.
So, I mean, back to it. So if you were going to watch a YouTube video while driving, you have like a little stand you put your phone on.
I used to have one. I don't have one currently, you know.
So you're holding it?
I have it plugged in, and it's on the side. Yeah, it's just the audio.
No, but I mean, you said you're watching it. So if you...
I meant to say listen.
Oh, because I thought you're holding... I was like, that's even worse. You're like
holding your phone, driving one-handed. No. We don't watch videos and drive, kids.
Say so says the DMV is currently mailing tickets right now to you, so... but anyways, let's get into some new releases. We've got Triple Threads. It released today. Staple product. We've been doing it since 2010, 2011. Every year, it's one of those releases that we look forward to. You got the 18-box Master Case, 9-box Inner Case, 36 hits in the break, so it is a group break product. You've got legends, vets, rookies. You've got some insane books and just a great lineage with Triple Threads. And it was the original high end when it came out. It was at $200 a box. It was like, wow, that's expensive. That is the high end. Now it's almost like, you know what, mid-level, you know, kind of product now compared to your Sterlings and obviously your Transcendence. Dan, you opened a case today. What did you think? What were your thoughts on Triple Threads?
I've opened cases many days, not just today. Triple Threads.
Only today.
Only today. Triple Threads is a standard. And when you say high end, yeah, I mean that and Tribute. Those were the two highest-end products that were out there. It brings back normalcy. Like, you see the relics.
You forgot about the Pandy for a minute?
Yeah, I mean, but you see the relics, and you see the autographs, and you see the books, and the white whales, when printing plates were a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like back in the day when, like, you would pull a printing plate and not be bummed. Like, not be like, oh, man, I got a card. It's, like, all jacked up. The condition's terrible. This is, like, the white whale. That's what they call it. They call it the
white
whale.
Explain people what the white whale is for those that out there don't know what the white whale in triple threads is.
It's a hard card to pull. It's a white whale.
It's a
printing plate.
Yeah, it is.
With the patch auto.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you want me to say?
Well, stop interrupting me, by the way, because you keep cutting into my time.
I'm
trying to talk here. Stop.
Look, I understand you have 90% more knowledge than I do, but I got to get my 10% in there.
You do. I mean, but like, you just keep interrupting me here anyways.
Well, I mean, too bad.
Inside joke, by the way.
Dan has 10% the knowledge of Dan.
Yeah, he does. He does. No spell check on that one. But anyways, yeah, the white whale, which is... I don't think they print them on the back anymore. We didn't pull one today, so I am anxious to see if it does say white whale. But the whale term, when we got into this hobby, white whale showed up on the triple threads cards. But then I always, you know, I would go into a shop, and, you know, before we had our shop, before we really started breaking that much, and people would say, yeah, it's one of my whales picked it up. And I'm like, you know, at first I was like,
ooh, I don't think so. Go ahead. I know I actually did exactly what my problem is. I did again. I interrupted you.
You did. You did.
I did, and I did. And now you're going to lose your train of thought. So.
No, but like somebody said, it's one of my whales. And I was like, man, that's messed up. Call somebody that, you know, I'm like, as a guy, you know, as a larger gentleman. I mean, like, but whale in the industry was like a guy that buys a lot of stuff. They would refer to it as, that's my whale. I've never used that term, but it's kind of, it reminded me of this, that we have the white whale, which is the one of one in triple threads. And then shop owners would say that's, you know, I had a few whales that come in and bought a couple of my cases.
Are you doing a connection between Topps calling it the white whale and a customer who spends a lot of money?
Possibly. I'm trying to figure
out the
connection.
I think a white whale is something that is almost impossible.
Unattainable.
To see.
It's what it is. Yeah, it's like you never see, like in
you
the
never,
it, you
like,
never
you,
see a white
you're not going
to
see a white whale in the ocean. You're not going to go whale watching and be like, oh my god, I found
right.
A white
that's
whale.
Why it's so rare to
so
see.
So it's so rare
whale,
to see.
Yeah.
So that I don't think it has anything to do with the customer's pocket.
So how does that transcend into that? That's my question.
Well, they have a product called Transcendent.
No, but seriously, I mean, I am I the only one that has heard that before? Right. So is it?
I think people referring again. Get out of my way, Doug. I got something to say. but I think
you should just push my face next time.
I'm gonna flip that. grab your computer. I'm flipping over the table. I got something to say. In a lot of industries, they refer to a big spender as a whale.
Is that because
that's
like,
not just baseball cards?
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was just in baseball cards.
No.
Is that because like the whale eat the plankton, so they're eating a lot of things at once?
Just they're a big spender with big pocketbook.
I know. I've heard the term whale from like casinos.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the casino, like people who
like
drop,
if you're
like,
if you're in
100K tables.
If you're
on
in
blackjack.
Like I don't go there. Doug will be in the high roller room like doing $100 slot
oh,
machines.
No,
that's I can't afford that.
I'll go in there for one pull and then I'll bounce out because I'll be sad.
Yeah, it says
bucks.
You actually will go in there for one pull. They don't let me in there. They're like they're all you can't afford. It. If you have to ask how much the slot machines are, you can't afford it. But yeah, I mean, anybody can go in there, right?
It's not, but you know, it's a term that like you don't use to the person's face though. Like you're not like,
yeah, I mean,
what up whale?
Yeah. I mean,
like,
that's
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's
yeah,
kind of, it's
I mean,
kind
if,
of a term.
If somebody comes into your shop and they spend a lot of money, you're like, hey, what's up whale?
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Yeah.
What no, you you're going to be like,
then you are going to flip over the table.
Yeah. Then you're going to be mad. But like, I get, I mean, I don't think there's any connection between the white whale terminology with Topps and the whale big spender who goes into
okay.
shops.
Well, I was
or,
just trying to make
or,
a comparison.
I mean, you know, dealerships probably have whales as well. And, you know, anything that's a shop that you can go at casinos.
Yeah, that's what Sazo says. Whale in Vegas is a high roller. And then Max said fat whales get hunted. So maybe that's how it's brought into a big spender. I don't know. So,
I think a whale is just it's a big mammal.
But wouldn't that be like perceived as like you're making fun of somebody? But it's actually kind of not making. But you don't call it to their face, but you call them that, which is kind of like a good thing, right? But it's like it's one of those positive negative situations, really. I mean, it's kind of a weird. Anyways, we're definitely going on a tangent here.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't think of it as a positive. I wouldn't want to walk into a shop and be like, oh, my whale's here.
Right. Because now you're just being looked at as monetary.
I'm dollar
thing,
signs.
Right?
I'm dollar signs.
So
dollar signs, Dan.
Dollar signs, Dan. So triple threads. Are you excited to break some triple threads today?
Always, always.
How many years have you done it now? What, 3, 4, 5?
As long as I've been with you guys, yeah. I didn't really do it before. Like, I didn't do a lot of baseball breaks before I joined Mojo Break. But yeah, it's been fun every year. You know what's interesting is that the year I was before I joined you guys, actually, it was that year that they were offering Mint with triple
yes.
threads. And so I was like, yeah, you know, the distributor hit me up. I was like, they're like, you want any triple threads? You know, you got to buy some of this. You could get some of this Mint, like, if you buy. And I was like, oh, okay, how much is that? Whole lot of money.
Antonio Brown.
I'm good, bro.
You know, I think every sorry, I interrupted.
No, I think we were actually
no,
good.
No,
I was
no.
Done.
Now
I
you're
was
in
done.
Your head.
No,
now you're in your head.
No, I was
done.
Sorry for the interruption. Back in the day. Let me tell you something.
Back in the days, 4 years ago.
Let me tell you something. let me pull back the curtain real quick. Show you what's going down. I'm for sure getting an email this time.
Pull back the veil, yeah.
No, I think it was maybe Doug can help me out because he has all the knowledge. 2016, 2015?
I think it was 16 because it was.
You know where I'm going?
Yeah, with the Mint.
So the Mint. Now, triple threads used to be allocation was non-existent.
You could get as much as you want.
You order 40 cases, you're getting 40 cases. You ain't backing out. They're going to hold you to that. You're screwed.
But boy, was it expensive.
Yeah, it was expensive, and you always lose track. We break it down as inner cases. It really adds up when you order 40 cases because you're like, 40 cases, 40 breaks. Oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, it's actually 80.
80.
Because there's two inner, and that really adds up. So back in the day, Topps introduced what they were pushing out is the highest end product ever to come out, especially baseball-wise. It was called the Mint. And in order to get allocated one, this is when I did combo deals back in the day. When you had to order 3 master cases, so that is 6 inner cases of Topps triple threads,
mm-hmm.
that would get you 1 case of the Mint.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's like, what are you talking about? This mint. What would you say? The mint was a one and done product,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of evolved into what we see now with Definitive.
Yeah, well, the ironic thing about the Mint was the cards were dinged up. So they called it like the Mint, and they were thick, and they were all dinged.
Yeah, that was Topps trying to – because they didn't really do too many black background
right.
type products, right?
Like, and then the pen on them were bad. If you look at it now and you watch some breaks, they're actually kind of loaded.
Yeah.
But based on when it came out, it just wasn't the right time. And so that product dipped to like $400 a box.
Yeah.
Like it was a bad deal.
Yeah.
It was a bad deal. But
it was expensive for the time that we were in.
Oh, yeah. It was, I want to say wholesale.
Those prices now, though, are like.
I want to say wholesale was like $800 a box. And we were just like, man, how are we going to do this? And we actually overextended ourselves with the amount of triple threads that we got. We actually had to sell some of the triple threads back.
At a loss
back to the distributor, which is funny because after we did that, it went up.
Yeah, it always does. It always goes
so,
up.
So, yeah, it could never win. But, yeah, we kind of dug ourselves a little bit of a hole with that. Probably goes down in history as one of the worst purchases by Mojo Break in our 10-year history. The other one would be a combo deal with Donruss Soccer and Flawless Soccer, which
we just had it.
Which would probably have been dope now, right?
Kick ourselves in the butt on that as well.
We could have all had just Teslas on the profit.
Tessie. It would have been Tessie whips. Like, you basically bring Donruss cases to the Tessie dealership. You're just leaving with a whip.
It's insane. Sucks. Bad idea. Or bad yeah. bad foresight.
But
nobody sees
getting
the future.
Getting back to, and what the main draw with the Mint, I don't even know why I'm talking about the Mint. I just love the Mint.
You a case of that now.
You can't find it, I don't think. It was the batting gloves. The batting glove relics were the main draw on that product. And they were really nice. Small checklist on the batting gloves, though, and you got some terrible guys.
There was bad, yeah.
There were some terrible players who are probably not even in the league anymore. But that was the main draw. I think I'm just saying, look how far we've come.
Yeah.
We have products like Definitive. We have products like Top Sterling.
Sterling came back, yeah.
Sterling came back with an amazing relic. So just in a short amount of time.
Diamond Icons.
The amount of, like, the progression we've seen with high-end baseball.
And probably really kind of elevated by group breaks, really. I don't think these would be here. But it actually makes like this product seem like a pretty good deal to chase some of this high-end all-star books and nameplate letter patch books and stuff like that. But let's move on to Absolute, because this is an interesting time for Absolute to come out, because obviously Absolute was known as Absolute Memorabilia. Now they're going with the Absolute Football moniker. But when it came out as Absolute Memorabilia, known for unique memorabilia pieces. But I think the big draw now, as you can see, the base cards look great. The big draw now is the Kaboom, right? So we pulled one today. We pulled a Justin Herbert. And Gary Vee was out there talking about how Kabooms could be the next big thing, like the Silver Prism. So
comic-type cards is what he was saying.
Right, right. So the Marvels, and I think the Kaboom kind of falls in line with that. It'll be really interesting to see. One, I don't know if they're coming in a master case, if there's one in each inner case. I don't know, because we got one in our first, so we'll see in the second one if you get a Kaboom. Mm-hmm. And will also be interesting to see how these perform in the parallel era. I think we can safely call this year the NFL parallel era. So this speaks right to it. So we'll see. I mean, one thing is Absolute, is it retail? Is there Kaboom possibilities in the retail or not? Okay, so it's only hobby only that you can get the Kaboom.
Yeah.
So, you know, that might have like a kind of a damper on it compared to like the Prisms and stuff, where people can go to Target. I think that helps elevate the card market because people can get those in their hanger packs. But these Kabooms, I think, are going to do pretty good. And
well, maybe you can get the base Kaboom in retail. I don't know 100%, but maybe they're making it so you can get the base, but definitely not the parallels.
Not the green or the gold, right? Yeah. So what do you think? I mean, what do you think about the Kaboom? Let's do predictions. PSA 10 Kaboom. Justin Herbert, PSA 10, Joe Burrow. What do we think those are going to go for out of the gate?
Just the base version?
Yeah. Now, it might take you six weeks to get the PSA 10. But
when you say base version,
you could do 5 data for $75 now. That's what people are going to do a lot.
Bring it down. What are you talking about? I mean, you got all the knowledge. What's the base version? And
well, there's a gold to 10, and then there's, yeah, I think, the green 101.
So you're talking about anything that's not numbered.
Correct.
Not numbered, okay. Yeah. We're not quite sure the print run.
And are we thinking that there might be one Kaboom base per inner?
We don't know yet. We don't know yet. Has anybody seen a full master case?
I think it's one Kaboom per master case.
I would say the Herbert would be $800 and the Burrow
for
would be
a PSA
10. Dude, I'm raw, baby.
I'll go $1,500 for the PSA 10 for Herbert.
Did you ask for PSA 10?
I did.
Yeah, you can't do that because it might have. In the time that you waited for it to come back, it might be worth 10 times the amount.
True. Let's just do raw then. You're right. Because for the sake of this, it might be weeks and weeks, and Herbert may throw 35 touchdowns.
I like it raw.
So Herbert.
Ooh, baby, I like it raw.
You got Herbert 800, then Burrow how much? Or both of them? 1,000?
800 for Herbert, 1,000
right,
for Burrow.
I'll go 801 on Herbert. I'm just kidding. I'll go 1,000 on Herbert and 1,200 on Burrow.
I mean, you have all the knowledge. You would know.
10%.
I mean, that sounds pretty good. I can't refute that.
Oh,
I mean,
you better figure something out.
Let's go 750 on Herbert and 950 on Burrow. I mean,
makes for bad radio if you're like,
name
I
that
don't
price.
Know.
There you go. Just interrupting me again.
No,
man.
I mean, it was your question and you have no answer.
That's how I roll. I should say, I don't know. I don't know. I should be really confident and then say I don't know in the same thing. Double that for a 6.5, yes. And then Max brings up the point of, are these going to show up in Kaboom packs? Which they probably will, but it'll be a different
picture.
Yeah. So just that might muddy the waters
That's got to devalue it, right?
Yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, if you're buying the Kaboom Justin Herbert or you're buying the Kaboom Kyle or any of these guys, you probably don't want to see the Kaboom packs.
If I had a guess. I would say even with the Kaboom packs, the Absolute ones should hold their value over the Kaboom pack ones because just the fact that they are a case hit and, you know, you're only getting one of them in a master case. So
there's already a couple on eBay. There's a Clyde the Glide for $4.99, a Jerry Jeudy for $4.99. I don't see any of the quarterbacks. Here's a Justin Herbert. $1,000 the best.
Woo,
offer.
Let's go.
$1,000 the best.
Yeah,
offer.
I mean, that's the best. I bet I could put $800 right there, and then we'd have a completed listing, and bam, I'd be right on.
You think so?
Yeah.
So far, I'm right now because it's up there for $1,000.
So that's it so far on early listings. There is a Jalen Hurts to 10 and a Bridgewater to 10.
I think it actually says in that Herbert for $1,000 in the title, it says C-Rad said on the hype that this card's worth $1,000.
You're right. How the heck did that happen so fast?
I know.
Fast?
It's crazy.
Jesus
it's
Christ.
Crazy.
Real time.
Real time.
So yeah, there's the golds look fantastic though. I will say that there's a nice gold kaboom of Jalen Hurts online right now on the line. So
ooh, that the golds do look pretty dope.
They do. I mean, they're gonna be tough to pull, but
what's a gold Herbert go for?
A Tesla.
If you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Exactly. 100%.
Probably $3,500.
I think so. With Absolute, it's one of those products, very similar to other products, that you're at the mercy of the rookie class. Mm-hmm. How well it's going to do on the secondary market, how well it's going to do, spectating and holding sealed wax. It really depends, and we're in a good rookie class for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So I think that's why you're seeing out of the gate a lot of these boxes and singles going for so much, because the value is there.
Yeah.
Because of the quarterback class and they're performing. We have two quarterbacks that are performing well,
mm-hmm.
and we have a third one that
hasn't played yet.
Probably any week now, mm-hmm. we'll probably get the nod in Miami.
Yep. Also, I will say from previous years of Absolute, just knowing the product, ripping up all these past recent years, it actually is a decent product to get not just rookie stuff, but actually vet stuff. They actually load it up pretty nicely with the vets usually. Now, I haven't opened up any this year, but previous years they would put top vets from previous years. So,
you know what I would do away with Absolute? And Doug was actually previewing one of them. That Daniel Jones card.
Yeah.
Those NFL Shield football from the rookie photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
I can do away with those.
Well, where are they from now?
I actually like those cards.
I get they look cool, but I mean,
it's unique.
It's unique, but you know where that ball's from.
Yeah.
Well, now. Did they send Clyde Edwards-Helaire 15 footballs to hold? I doubt it. During the pandemic, I mean, they had to just, some player touched it maybe. I don't know.
No, but the Daniel Jones there is probably from last year's rookie photo shoot.
Right. Well, this is, you know how Panini does their mock-ups, which really does irritate me. I get it because they have to do the mock-ups early.
It does, yeah.
But they use the like same thing with the Drew Lock that we showed. That is this year's design, but it's like it's a Drew Lock rookie. So on their sell sheet, they don't have the photos yet when they make the sell sheet.
Yeah, that could confuse people who don't really
totally.
Pay attention
all the time.
To the,
so I try to when I put up breaks, I try not to use those photos because I'm like, oh, am I going to get a Drew Lock rookie card in 2020? No, you're not. That's just a mock up. So that's the same thing with the Daniel Jones. That's what the card's going to look like, but it's going to be Burrow or the rookie premier guys.
All I'm saying is I can do without the ball relics.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. I could do without a lot of balls too. So, but yeah,
dude.
I mean, but these
that was I handed that to you. It was a softball.
I did.
It was a softball. I'm like, serving it up. There you go, Doug.
Especially if they had like Danny Mitt. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, these obviously are not thrown around the field like they would be at a normal rookie premiere. So they're just literally, it's almost at the point where it's like a manufactured patch, right? It's like a manufactured patch.
Which collectors still enjoy.
Still enjoy
them,
yeah.
Like they look cool, like from Upper Deck Hockey, like all those manufactured patches. And even when they were doing it for basketball, right?
Yep. So what do you think Color Blast, Burrow, or Herbert go for then? That's a good question.
$1 million.
Whew.
Prism comes out.
We
pivot to
we
Prism?
Did, but that's a great question because that might be the most sought-after parallel of the year, right?
Creme de la creme.
It is. I mean, and it depends on how often they make them fall. I think in the past it was like one every 10 cases.
Year's Prism, were they in last year's Prism football? Or were they in last year's Spectra? They were in last year's Prism football, I believe, right?
They were, but you just don't even see. I think we pulled like one in
one
baseball.
One or two.
Yeah.
We pulled one or two in football, not very many.
And they had them in basketball. What product were they in?
Spectra. Extremely hard to hit, too.
Okay. So they were not in Prism.
No.
And football puts them in. They're putting them in Prism.
Correct.
Yeah. And maybe Spectra, who knows?
Maybe they'll
get two of them.
Man, yeah, I mean, I'm saying probably at least 5K on the main guys, right? I mean, out the gate.
Yeah, easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's ridiculous that you guys literally are just like nonchalantly just like, 5K, yeah, easy. No problem. Does that card have an autograph on it? Nope.
We're in the parallel era, Dan.
Does it got a relic?
You got to get with the parallel era, dude.
Just a piece of cardboard, like, not numbered cardboard.
Like money's being printed, you know what I'm saying?
I love the nonchalant, just like, yeah.
I mean, it is. A couple of wise men that have been in this hobby longer than me some of them are a little bit scared of sets like that because, you know, them not being numbered, you don't know how many are made. You don't know if any of them are held back. You don't know how many, you know, I'm saying if they decide to make more later. I'm not saying that's happening. It probably isn't. But, you know, sometimes, like, if I'm going to spend $5,000 to $10,000, I want my card to be numbered. But, you know, they're not.
Maybe for me, if I'm going to spend $5,000 to $10,000, even if it's not numbered, I kind of feel like I want to at least know what the run is.
Print run is, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean? But that actually puts everybody who does a fair amount of breaks at an advantage. Because you know you're going to open up 10, 15, 20 cases of Prism.
Yeah.
You're going to know how hard it is to pull them. So in your mind, you're like, I know that this card is super short printed. But the average collector is not going to rip 20 cases. So they're really not going to know.
But they're going to probably watch 20 cases.
Maybe. But like, I just think that like Doug was saying, there's the uncertainty of but there's also that mystique to it.
Yep.
Like, if it's not numbered, is it 10? Is it 15? Is it 20?
That is part of the fun, but you're really like, you know, obviously you're gambling at that point, like trying to figure out like what you think the print run is going to be.
Yeah, and Michael Hamm with some great points in the chat. We appreciate that. It says, like the Genesis cards, we have no idea how many there are. We know there are rare, but how rare? Panini doesn't put numbers on a lot of colored cards, so we don't know what the true print runs are.
Yeah, I didn't want to cut you off like Dan.
Whoa, guys.
It's contagious now.
Hey, look, there's only one guy who can cut people off with tons of knowledge, and that's this guy.
I just want to say really quickly to the Genesis thing, just in general for people listening and collectors, when you're dealing with a retail exclusive parallel, you can probably be certain that it's not going to be that short printed because retail, I mean, obviously they make way more retail than hobby boxes, like in terms of like blasters and just like hanger packs and all that stuff.
Yeah, value packs.
Something like a Genesis parallel from retail, it's probably, people thought it was rare in the beginning, but it's like, in my head, I'm like, It's from a retail SKU, so it's like, how rare could it be? You know what I mean? So
I mean, and that's kind of maybe one of the smoke and mirrors part of this hobby. I'm not saying that like people are taking advantage of people, but like you see it on eBay, PSA 10 Genesis pop one ? Or, you know, like, so it gets you like, ooh, you know, I haven't seen one. I got to get this, you know. So, I mean, and Ron brings up a good point too, the Marvels and Donruss. I haven't even seen a Marvel yet. Have you pulled a Marvel?
I pulled one and it's amazing.
Oh, is it
from
shiny?
From Donruss.
Yeah, it's
shiny. It's amazing.
Who'd you pull?
Lamar Jackson.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy.
It's amazing. Because of all the Donruss that I've opened, it is a rare insert.
To say that you know.
Yeah.
It's like a little insider trading knowledge. Like, you know that it is super short-printed. Yeah. So if you ever find one in, like, say you're going around a, you know, commons box, so you go to LCS or something like that, you're flipping through it. You find one of those, you may want to buy it.
You know what? That's true. We do know because we have a little bit insert with that because we rip so much. But I also like, I play games in my head too. I'm like, did I just get a bad like palette or something? You know what I'm saying? Like, of cases, like.
Well, I'll tell you right now.
Because sometimes people in the chat,
we don't get palettes. I don't want to interrupt you. But we don't get palettes of product. I don't want that going out there.
Our cases come from a certain. Because we don't know how they pack this stuff up, right, obviously. Because we get our products from distributors, and we don't know how it gets packed up and sent to distributors. Because sometimes I'll open up a product, like 10 cases, right, and I won't pull a certain insert or whatever. And then somebody will come in the chat room and be like, I've seen this other breaker like get like two of those in like five cases. And I'm like, I opened up 10 cases, and I haven't got one.
Well, maybe remember when in Flawless 16-17, how many Simmons you were getting? So it was like we had like, what, 20 cases we did, and I think you put like five or six Simmons. So, you wonder. I mean, a lot of stuff is hand-packed, and maybe the stack of Simmons went into a certain type of pallet that went to our distributor, and then we picked up some of those cases. Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely interesting. Let's move on to Pokemon once again. We don't know a lot about Pokemon.
If we got pallets, we'd be breaking like Platt.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little Pokemon, right? So obviously we brought it up last week. Logan Paul did a video, 4.6 million views. He is collecting Pokemon, and it's crazy what's going on with these with this hype, being that it's like the 25th anniversary, and you know, people are going crazy for these Champion Path trainer boxes. Well, he went out and he fully jumped in on it, started buying some $20,000, $30,000, $60,000 cards. You could watch the video on YouTube. Very easy to find.
Which it happens to a lot of collectors.
Yeah, so get excited. So he went out and he bought himself $170,000 first edition box, which gets the most expensive possibility of the Charizard.
That's one
right?
sealed box?
Yeah.
First edition.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
So $170,000 he bought it, I think, via Heritage Auction. And he has like 8-minute video. I won't spoil it for you guys, but looks at the end, he's going to go live on October 9th, and he is selling, which is in what?
That's 2 days.
2 days. He is selling this by the pack, 35 packs for sale, and he's going to open them live for you, and it's $11,000. And $11,111 per pack. Max limit of 5 per buyer. So if you do the math, for one, I don't know how much money he made on a 3-4 million view video. He's also going to be taking in $388,000 for 35 packs. And he's going to keep one of them for himself because he wants a shot at the Charizard as well. And he's only accepting wired money. So you cannot PayPal him. He cannot use a credit card. You can only do a wire transfer. Obviously, he's probably not going to scam anybody because he's high profile on YouTube.
There's no reason to scam.
But if him. A breaker or somebody went on, like if I went on YouTube and I bought something for that price and I am going to make what?
$200,000.
$188,000. I would be blasted, and nobody would buy it. And I'm not saying we're anywhere close to Logan Paul. I'm not making that comparison. But I'm just saying, and I'm not knocking a man for trying to make money, but that is crazy. I mean, genius marketing, but, man, that is nuts.
Yeah, but he's also given – you buy a pack, you're getting a shout-out. And I was talking to C-Rat about this. That's – to a lot of people, that's worth the $11,000.
Yep.
For
yep.
the marketing.
I feel like
not even for the marketing. It's just like there's people who are huge fans of him, and just getting a shout out from him.
Just saying hello.
Just saying, yep. Hey,
John.
Hey, bro.
And that goes, oh, you said hi.
Yeah. Whoa. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. But it also seems like they weren't really sure what the price the pack's at, and they were just like, keep on hitting ones until it looks right. It's just 1-1, 1-1-1.
Yeah, I highly doubt that Logan Paul is doing this to make money. Just make money. Of course, he wants to make money off the views and the if he's streaming this, you know what I mean? Like, he wants to actually put this out there as a promo thing, but I don't think he wants to make money off the pack necessarily.
I have to interrupt you real quick. The break schedule is located on the homepage.
Oh,
yeah. So
Craig
really
needs to know.
If you're looking for the absolute random team.
Oh no, I died.
Case number one, PYT already happened. But if you're looking for a random team,
I think he's looking for random. I know we're. The show and the content, screeching halt right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for interrupting, but I felt like I had to do my due diligence and acknowledge people in the chat.
Yeah,
so,
I gotta let them
know. So go ahead. You were saying again?
No, I think somebody in Logan Paul's team was like we need to obviously like price this at whatever they felt like they needed to price it at. But I don't think Logan Paul was like, yo, I'm going to make this quick $200,000 real quick off of the Pokemon packs.
I mean, we don't even know how much money he made in ad revenue for the 8-minute video content he put up there.
Right.
That may have been way more than the two. I mean, $200,000 to him is like you were saying before. Like, it's nothing.
It's nothing to somebody like Logan Paul.
Yeah, but he also ain't the business to lose money.
Yeah,
You don't see him going out there and being like, I'm going to go ahead and give back to everybody, and I'm just going to go ahead and sell them for $3,000 a pack. And lose money. Well, he ain't trying to do that.
Yeah.
He could
with
the money that he made on the ad revenue, but that's bad business. Mm-hmm. But again, if Doug did that, he'd get hated.
You're not for the hobby.
Yeah, you're...
So
But maybe there is a different.
I'm sure he's getting hated here. I'm trying to go through the comments, but he has. I mean, geez, he has how many freaking comments on it? So, he has 19,245 comments on this video.
And very, very similar to the Mojo Break YouTube streams as well. We get about.
We may have not got 19,000 in 10 years, bro.
Very, very similar. I go on his and I go on Mojo Breaks. Very parallel with the content.
Well, here's also that, you know, on this next slide here, it has, and, you know, maybe these aren't exactly the right cards, but they look like it. A PSA 5 Charizard first edition sold for only 13 grand. So a 200K Charizard has to be a 10, correct? So if you're lucky enough, and I know maybe this isn't the point of this isn't to gamble, but it seems like the odds are really stacked up against you if you're paying $11,000 from a gambling aspect.
You're getting that shout out, though.
So we talked about this last week, and I don't know. I know I claim I know. Everything about everything,
but I
don't know anything about Pokemon.
So I don't know
why, that's why I was asking you. There is foil parallels, and those are the ones that people want. There's one foil per pack, maybe. The Charizard, is there a basic, I'm saying, is there a base Charizard?
So the Charizard is only a foil.
Only a foil.
Yeah.
There's
no regular base version.
Okay, so there's, okay, that's, so these that we're seeing that are, you know,
there's also the shadow and the shadowless. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So like, there's a shadow or not a shadow, and one is worth more than the other. The shadow's on the actual drawing itself.
He went over that.
But in terms of like foil and no foil, it's always a foil for the Charizard.
Okay. So there's just no base Charizard that would be worth less, but still worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, there is one on eBay, Holy Grail. Charizard Holo First Edition PSA 10. Somebody's trying to sell for $350,000. Obviously, they haven't sold, but that I assume would be the Holy Grail. Be getting that in a 10.
That's the card you want to be holding, just like a Jordan rookie.
Charizard rookie, 1999. What were these boxes originally selling for? They had to be like 50.
I was buying packs in 1999 for like $3.
Wow, that's
crazy. At the
GameStop.
I mean, if you could just.
Just that crystal ball,
just,
right there.
I mean,
man.
Crystal ball, just clear them out. Just hold on to them. I mean, what's a pack? I mean, a pack goes for $11,000.
Yeah, $3 to $11,000.
I mean, those are the type of investments I like. I don't know about you.
He does, Ron. Ron says he actually, and watch the video, and he's more of an expert than we are. But yeah, he explains the difference in all the shadowless, and then the different grading and stuff like that. So great video by Logan Paul. I'm not knocking that. I'm just analyzing
Logan Paul
it from
knows
a
what you're talking about, dude.
Yeah. I'm just analyzing it from a standpoint of like the break portion of it, like, you know, $11,000 a pack.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to get away with that.
No, not that we would ever do it that way, but like, it's just crazy to me that like, it'd be like selling a National Treasures case at like $150K. Like, you're not even if you get a Luka, it's gonna be like, unless you get a top grade, it's only gonna be like a $40,000-$50,000 card, right?
No.
So it's like,
well,
you're almost set up to lose at this point.
Then again, isn't that how? Now, I don't have any knowledge of like the people who do vintage and stuff, how their business works, but. You're buying these packs and boxes at already high cost, and you obviously are in a business to make money. So you are going over technically what the retail market cost of it is, right? To sell these packs individually when you buy the sealed boxes, right?
Yes, I got actually. You bring up a good point because at the National they were doing, and this was like two, maybe three years ago. We got offered to buy a pack of
Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland. We got offered to buy a pack of 86, 87 Fleer. So Breakers were on the main stage, and they were selling a box of 86, 87 Fleer by the pack. I believe there was, 36 packs in the box. And it was, I think it was 24, was it 2,400 a pack?
I think so.
It was 2,400 a pack. And at the time, the PSA 8 Jordan was 2,200. So I was like, there's four Jordans in the box, right? On average, three to four Jordans.
Okay.
And you got to hope that you get not only get the Jordan, but then you got to hope that you get at least a PSA 8. So I was like, that's terrible. I mean, I know people pay for the experience, but at some point you got to realize, man, my odds of ever coming out in this deal are like one in a million, right? So that's kind of what I'm comparing it to here is that $11,000, you got to get a Gem 10 Charizard.
Just, you know, a PSA 5.
But we might
to hit big, right?
Yeah, I mean,
and, you know, watching Logan Paul's video, it really does seem that Pokemon has never really gone away.
Never.
It's always done well.
It's a Nintendo thing.
And we might be on an incline in Pokemon cards. Mm-hmm. And maybe even the older.
I feel like this is just the start, bro.
Just the beginning.
This is just the beginning of Pokemon.
And I'm glad you said that because I'm like at $170, and I've $170,000, not $170. Could it be a good long term investment to go buy a sealed first edition Pokemon
at $170,000?
I said it.
This is the thing too. Like back.
I think it actually. Sorry for interrupting again.
No problem.
I think it might actually be one of the best long-term investments you can make right now.
Probably. I agree with that.
Now go ahead.
I'm up in the air.
The 86 Fleer thing, like, you obviously you make a great point like that. You could just buy that Jordan because it's guaranteed, right, instead of buying into the pack. Maybe people are also looking at when they're buying into something like that. They're thinking, like, okay, this pack is going to be worth – I mean, this pack is going to cost me $5,000 in a few years, so I might as well try to get on in this now and try to get a nice Jordan, right? Because how much are packs worth now? Like, it's crazy now, right? Compared to when you guys – back at the Nationals. So.
Well, and, you know, you got Michael, once again, with a great point here, says, think about the hype around Logan Paul Charizard. You grade it, and just from the event, it's legendary, right? So then you – yeah. I mean, I guess from that point, you have
– that adds some value.
You have the Charizard that Logan Paul pulled – and maybe you know what? This is actually genius. If you are one of the lucky people to get it, and I don't even know, can somebody correct me? Is there a guaranteed one in the box? Is there one guaranteed in the box? I don't know.
No.
No. So there's not a guarantee, right? So, but if you do get it, wonder if you could get PSA to slab it, you know, like the Gretzky Wagner, right? You could be the Charizard Logan Paul
on
the slab.
But it's not even that. Like, not even the Charizard. He's going to open up the pack live for you. Every card that's pulled out of there. Was pulled by Logan Paul. You get all of them graded, and you're like, this was pulled by
Logan Paul.
Set. Yeah.
Let's buy it then.
I'm going to go over there right now. I didn't say
split
that.
Split three ways.
Let's do it.
I ain't got that.
It might be sold out. Who knows?
Hold on. Let me sell my Brandon Clark collection so I can buy into this Pokemon break.
But then you're giving up on BC.
But BC.
Who's longer term? All right. Who has longer term value? Brandon Clark or Pikachu?
Who's gonna score more? Who's gonna win more championships? Charizard or Brandon Clark?
Brandon Clark, baby.
Let's break it down. Hot topic. Hot take.
You know, somebody like Gary's V has said it, and there's somebody that came in the room over the weekend that said it, and I've said it a couple times. It's like, you know, Pokemon don't tear their ACL. You know what I'm saying, in terms of investments. But I was like, you get caught with a Pokemon card as a grown man in public, you might be tearing some ACLs.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, let's move on to some sports. You guys, people are
no,
like,
man, I wanted to just sit here and roll another 45 minutes of Pokemon.
Well, the NBA finals are here, and, you know, LeBron's crying his way to another title. But we got some guys to talk about other than LeBron and their card prices. So you've got Tyler Hero on fire. You have Anthony Davis on fire. And we look at Tyler Hero, and I wanted to have a conversation because this one interests me a lot. A recent sale of a one-of-one Black Prism 9.5, $13,000, right? Wow. Black Prism, that's crazy. I mean, I think the Trae Young that we pulled sold for less than that.
Six or seven or something.
Yeah. And then silvers are trending around, and they're probably up past that now, but silvers are trending around $1,200 in a PSA 10. Long-term, is Tyler Hero a guy that you think people should invest in? Long-term.
If he's a Steph caliber type of player, I would say yes, but that all depends on how much you like him, right? Like we always talk about, if you feel like he has the ceiling of a Steph Curry, then absolutely, now's a good time to buy him. But if you're not that big of a believer in him, then you know these prices are, you know, it's like any of these other guys that people are gambling on, like, you know, like a MPJ and anybody really, you know, so.
Yeah, and Ziggy, what's up, Ziggy? Thanks for all the comments, man. We appreciate you putting in that work, man. NTRPA sold for $40,000 on eBay. I mean, we're getting
so
close
that's Luca's level,
right? That's what I'm
saying. When the season first started and he was blown up his sophomore year, that's how much Luca RPA has jumped from. They jumped from $15,000 to $40,000. So we're talking about Tyler Hero being on Luca's. Now Luca's is now like a $200,000 RPA that we've seen. But it jumped from $15,000 over last summer to the fall of 2019 being $40,000. So Tyler Hero is on Luka's level now? But I understand the market is like, you know, like people are spending more on.
I'm not a big believer in Tyler Hero. I don't know. I you know, it's Jimmy. I mean, I don't know if it's going to always be Jimmy Butler's team, but right now it's Jimmy Butler's team. You know, Jimmy Butler's rookie in 12-13 as well, at least his cards are. I don't know. I don't see it with Tyler Hero. I just don't see it. I feel like it's like we're in the moment in this hobby right now, and that is the only rookie really to collect that's currently playing. You know, because I don't think Talon Horton Tucker's playing. He might not even be on the roster. I mean, you have Kendrick Nunn who didn't really show up much in the finals yet. I mean, obviously during the regular season he did. So I think collectors are like, well, Zion and Ja are not playing. I got something to buy. And I feel like you're getting a boost from that right now because it's literally the only game on.
No, that's definitely happening. That's definitely happening.
Sebastian was reading my mind. I'm like, can we just go back to Pokemon?
Yeah.
Like, $40,000 for a Tyler Hero RPA, you're out of
unheard of.
You're out of unheard your of. Mind. You are out of your mind. Somebody actually put a poor man's Klay Thompson. I think Klay Thompson's a better player. Klay Thompson has more championships. Granted, Klay Thompson a little older, been in the league longer. Just getting off an ACL injury. But
yeah, I don't see that comparison. Actually, I don't see it.
Klay Thompson has never even his cards have never even got close to that level. Like, what can you get a Klay Thompson RPA for? $5,000 maybe. And yeah. That's like
maybe like 10.
I think it might be less than I think it's
granted probably, those ones are numbered at 199.
Yeah, it's a double true. Rookie.
It might be like 5 to 10 then. In between there, I bet you. In between that range.
I mean, in the grand scheme of NBA players, you gotta put him you can't even put him in the Klay Thompson category yet.
Not yet.
He's flashier though.
He needs to play more. We're talking 1 year.
Yeah.
He wasn't even really starting the whole season.
Now, I will say in Tyler Hero's defense, because, you know, like watching him play in these playoffs, he has been pretty spectacular for a rookie in his first year.
I'll say that. You want to put it in numbers. I'll say if you buy his cards right now, you have about a 5% of seeing an increase in the future.
Yeah.
You have a 95% of it decreasing and a 5% of it increasing. If I had to throw numbers out there, probably going to get blasted for that because he's in the finals. I get it. He's a good player. He can definitely ball out.
He's not the reason they're in the finals, but you're not going to get blasted because
he has to, at this point, in order for these numbers to go up, he has to, like I said, he has to be a Steph Curry caliber type player where he has to win some MVPs. He has to win some championships. MVPs will be a start. You know, let's see if he can get there first. But what Doug was saying is right. It's the hype from being the only rookie left in the playoffs. Obviously, people are always looking for something to flip. So,
but you can probably go back and buy a Jimmy Butler RPA for a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
So, you look at that Miami Heat team, and you look at them, and you're like, is Tyler Hero the best player on their team? Tyler Hero might be the third best player on their team. Why is he commanding $40,000 for an RPA?
Yeah, and I think
Jimmy Butler's RPA is up there like that. He's up there like 20-30.
Jimmy Butler is a proven player in the league. But he's got Jimmy Butler, you got to put in the top 10 players in basketball right now.
But people do look at this is the thing too. We got to consider if people look at his career thus far as well. Where people we only have 1 year of data on Tyler Hero, so right. People are gambling.
Yeah. But are we looking at the data from Luka and saying, hey, look what Luka did and how much cards his went up his sophomore year. I'm gonna get in right now the bottom floor of $40,000 to get into Tyler Hero because it's gonna go up to $200,000. Is that the mindset that we have?
Yes, it is.
No, he said no. You said yes.
Yeah. What I'm gonna say is it's about that flip life, and I think what's happening is that everybody herds towards one guy, which obviously makes the price go up and up and up, and it doesn't even matter their talent or level. It's just a monetary piece of paper that they're trying to make more money off of, and at some point it's going to crash down and you don't want to be stuck holding it, right? So unless he comes out and he does perform and he becomes legend, and you know, but that's just so far fetched.
I think he got. I think he got 5% chance of it increasing.
Yeah,
5%.
Well, we're getting close on time, and
so
we're
going back to Pokemon.
We still have topics. We have a whole quarterback topic that we're going to have to blow through. So we won't spend a whole lot of time on Anthony Davis, but I wanted to point out that Anthony Davis's cards, they've been picked up, going up all year. I mean, if they win, he's obviously, I think he's hands down the Finals MVP, right? I mean,
easily. Yeah.
He's been killing it. I mean, he's been carrying LeBron on his back. He's been carrying the old man on his back. But yes, a recent NTRPA. Number to 25, so the parallel that year, because those were also same year as Jimmy Butler, they're number to 199 on the true RPA. 22,600 October 5th.
That is insane, bro. That is actually insane. That he's $20,000 cheaper than Tyler Herro.
RPA. You look at that, and again, it blows my mind to say this, but that's a good deal.
Yeah.
Like on paper, you look at that, and I'm like, $20,000 is. Compared to a $40,000 card.
Again, people like the unknown of Tyler Herro. That's what it is. They're gambling on the unknown.
But it is. It's
because we got 10 years of AD and
Anthony Davis
Jimmy B already.
A generational player with Anthony
Davis.
He's
a little injury prone. I mean, and he's also a big man, which typically don't tend to be the top sellers.
But he shoots.
And that's always been, you know, that's what drives our hobby. It's the hype of the unknown of these rookies. And, you know, that's why we see Tyler Herro RPA even – as ridiculous as it is, 40K for a Tyler Herro RPA and 20,000 for a number to 25 RPA of Anthony Davis.
Well, I was
graded BGS 9.5 gem.
Exactly. I was thinking about buying a base PSA silver, because one thing to keep in mind about the 12-13 Prism class is that the pop report is very, very low. So you look at Luka and you look at AD, and AD seems like a steal. But anyways, wanted to move on to undervalued quarterbacks. Looking at some data here, and obviously your Russell Wilson cards are way up. Your Kyler Murray cards are going up, maybe trending down a little bit. Well, they play the Jets this week, though. They play the Jets this week, so that'll cure a lot of the bad stuff there. But Aaron Rodgers' cards are going up. All these guys that have been going up are still going up. I want to talk about Ryan Tannehill, Derek Carr, and Jared Goff, because they're playing pretty well. Ryan Tannehill's 3-0. 3-1 on Jared Goff, and I think the Raiders are what, 2-2. So the prices are crazy, especially for Goff. And I usually hate to give it up to Rams fans, because I'm obviously a Niner fan and I hate Jared Goff, but 270 for a silver prism Jared Goff Gem 10 actually seems like a great deal. The guy went to the Super Bowl already. They're 3-1 in that division. It seems like too low to me. I don't know.
It's crazy. You take my content on Thursday at our other podcast, because I actually brought him up as an undervalued quarterback. You laughed at me. And now,
I mean, he did barely
couple days
beat
the go
Giants.
By, and now he's a segment on this. But I think first overall pick. So you basically look at Goff and Wentz are always going to be compared together. They're always going to be in the same conversation, because they went 1 and 2 in the same rookie class. Jared Goff is performing better than Carson Wentz right now.
Carson Wentz has a Super Bowl, though.
Because of him?
Well, the regular season.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz looks lost this season.
He does.
Jared Goff has been, and I'll be the first one to admit, Jared Goff has been inconsistent.
Yes.
He will put up games where he throws for 350 yards and 4 touchdowns and look amazing. You know, have like 5 incomplete passes.
He's been looking real streaky.
And then he'll play another game where he'll look really good for one quarter, and then either the game plan changes and they start running the ball and they go away from what works. I don't know. It might be something that Sean McVay does with the offense, but I've been saying Jared Goff is a good value right now, because you can get in at the floor. You look at what other quarterbacks go for. It's dirt cheap. And I'm going to hand it over to C-Rag, because I think there's another guy on there he wants to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, the 2014 Prism PSA 10 DC 202.
Yeah.
Let's see what, you know, you and Vegas Dave on the same team on this
one. So Derek Carr, one thing we have to address it out the gate is that the 2014 design of Prism is not the best.
You know, it looks better in football, though. We broke a box, a select, but we pulled a graded. I pulled out of the hit parade. I pulled one. I was like, it doesn't look as bad.
Yeah, it's just not the best.
It's not the best.
It's not the best design of Prism. But however, with that said, Derek Carr is going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, okay. Wow. I mean, I handed it over to you. I didn't think you were going to come in that hot.
You got some marijuana down there or that you're smoking on? I mean, wow. I guess Jimmy Garoppolo is going to win. They're going to meet in the Super Bowl. Yeah. You guys do have the weapons. I mean, it just seems like the defense.
I mean, yeah. Our offense is great this year, but the defense needs a lot of work. But I feel like I don't know. I'm still not completely sold, just in general, not even talking about the Derek Carr Silver Rookie Prism. But I don't know if I'm completely sold on the parallel era of football yet. So in terms of the silvers, I guess 2014 would be – I don't know if they weren't all silver, right? Like, or were they up until 2017?
The silvers were definitely a lot easier to hit in 2014.
But they weren't every single base card in 2014, right? Like they were in 2017.
I don't think so.
No, but it wasn't until 2018 – I think, when you only got one silver per box.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. You think about, like, any rookie in 2018 or 19, how hard it is to pull a silver.
Yeah.
And the chances of it being a rookie.
Yeah.
Out of, like, a 250 base, like, set. Like, those cards should be through the roof.
Yeah, so I agree with you. So 2018 and above, and where we're at right now, like, silver prisms are, like, I can see that. But I'm not sold on any year before that with the silvers. For me, look, I'm going to push back. For me, the card to invest in is still going to be the Contenders Auto for me. Like, I know, like, you know, the market's changing and people are trying to go going toward more of the base. For $200, it is a safe buy to me, in my opinion, for the Derek Carr, especially for a PSA 10. It's just, you know, personally, in my opinion, like I don't know if that's the card that I'm gonna be looking for in terms of long term investments on DC.
Well, you gotta compete with Vegas Dave on that, because like you start going after the RPA, the National Treasure RPAs, you gotta compete with Big Pockets Vegas Dave.
How does he do it?
I don't know.
You know, like that is unfortunate, like because there's that whole thing on him where, you know, there's a lot of collectors, like, you know, he's just trying to push it so he can sell stuff, but. You know, as a real Raiders fan, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know
I think he's a real Raiders fan, and I do give him credit. It's not – he has been – it was Mike Trout and
– So he's been on DC for a while.
And Derek Carr.
Yeah, he's been on DC for a while.
He never – Derek Carr isn't a new thing that he
came up with. So I think for him it might be a pride thing at this point where he's like I can't let DC fail.
Yeah, I mean,
even though DC may fail in real life.
I mean, he may not be saying, if Nathan Peterman takes over and he's a starting quarterback, you're not going to see too many Vegas Dave videos of him touting the Derek Carr collection. So
exactly.
Like I love DC, and you know, obviously I've said it a few weeks ago on the hype. I love the direction our offense is going, but defensively, like we are just in shambles, and we're gonna lose a lot of games because of our defense.
What are you guys? 3-1?
2-2.
2-2?
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk to him. He knows what that's about.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. It's going to be a long season. Lastly, and I'm going to name the giveaway winner from the Hype 156 on the Donruss. We did the random for that. Dan won. No, I'm just kidding.
I won.
Ryan Tannehill, do we see – I mean, he's pictured in a Dolphins uni. He struggled as a Dolphins quarterback. But last year, went to the AFC Championship. This year, 3-0. They've had some COVID issues. Is Ryan Tannehill worth investing in?
No.
No, not at all. Not even at $200 on a silver prism? No?
Nah.
You wouldn't want it?
Nope.
Anybody in the chat? Anybody buying Ryan Tannehill? He's got the intangibles. Have you seen him on the Dude Perfect video? He was throwing dimes a couple years ago. I mean, Derrick Henry's awesome. That defense is pretty awesome. He's got a good arm.
Really trying to sell it. It's a hard pass.
I'm trying to take what you're saying and maybe convince other people that he is a good buy.
They're not buying
him.
They know better.
They know better. His wife is, somebody says. All right. So winner from episode number 156 for the Donruss box, please send us an email and claim your prize is William Diego. Thank you for commenting. We have another giveaway coming up too. We'll announce next week for the break credits. But that's all we got, guys. Make sure you follow us at Mojo Break Media. Hit that subscribe, smash that bell notification. We're up past 1,000 subscribers. We want to keep growing this thing. I think we're going to actually be doing some non-sport stuff coming up. We're going to maybe do some reaction videos with music that we enjoy, just because that's just stuff that we like to do. Maybe change it up. You know, we're talking about Pokemon here, so we'll preface those videos by saying this is not a sports card video, though. So if you don't want to watch us talking about music videos, then don't tune in. But anyways, so we got stuff coming up down the pipeline, but make sure you subscribe to us on Mojo Break Media. If you're watching live, you're currently on our Mojo Break channel where all the breaks happen. But if you're watching live, head on over to the Mojo Break Media and hit that subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at MojoBreak_com and MojoBreakM on Twitter for Mojo Break Media content. And that is it for the day. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. We'll see you next week on 159. Peace out.